worship the Lord. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, let me invite you to take them out, find the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we'll be looking at today, and we do know that we have so much to be thankful for. And God has blessed us in so many ways. There's so many wonderful spiritual blessings that God has given to us, and so many other blessings that God has given to us. And I can certainly attest to the fact that on Wednesday night when Howie Kendrick hit the grand slam in the 10th inning, I was saying thanks be to God for that. We're thankful for all the blessings that God gives to us daily. As you're turning there in your Bibles to Ephesians 5, I want to just share a few words about our opportunity to hear from Compassion International next Sunday. Compassion International is a ministry that is committed to working with churches and working with children in other countries. And many of these children that we're working with in other countries are at the poverty level or below. And my family, personally, our family, we adopted a girl from Ecuador. Her name is Jessica. And we adopted her about 6 years ago, started sponsoring her and started praying for her daily. We pray for her just about every day that we gather together for our evening meal. And she writes us letters, and we get a chance to write her letters back. And so when I was at the Southern Baptist Convention back in June, they shared a video about a church in Durham, North Carolina, that had partnered with Compassion and had begun this partnership that really was an opportunity to sponsor these children. And their church actually went to the country that they were sponsoring and met their sponsored child. And so when I came back from the convention, I called Compassion and began the conversation about what it would look like for Bethel to be one of those sponsor churches. And in the course of that conversation, I shared with them my personal vision was that we would be able to partner with a church or a country that doesn't get a lot of attention. We know that there's certain countries, many of our South American countries and African nations that have a lot of attention placed on them. Ecuador, Guatemala, places like that, Uganda and others. But I said, I want something a little bit different. I want something that's kind of the tip of the arrow, tip of the spear, so to speak. And so she sent me a couple of countries back for me to think about and to pray about. And as I did that, I felt the Lord leading me to partner with a country called Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, small little country that is really a very unreached area of the gospel. And so we're going to partner with them. And so next Sunday, I've got a couple of things here to share with you that she sent to me. Next Sunday, we're going to give you an opportunity, if the Lord leads you, to consider sponsoring a child from Sri Lanka. There are 42 children in this center, this children's center that need sponsorship. Let me share with you a little bit about this area. It's in eastern province of Sri Lanka. It says your sponsored child lives in a community in eastern province that is home to approximately 25,000 residents. Typical houses are constructed of cement floors, tin walls, and tile roofs. The primary ethnic group and language is Tamil. The regional diet consists of fish, bread, and rice. Okay, think about that when you're having your pizza this afternoon. Common health problems in this area include cancer, colds, fevers, asthma, heat rashes, and skin diseases. Most adults in this area work as day laborers or street vendors and earn the equivalent of $77 per month. This community needs vocational training, English classes, a library, and health education. Your sponsorship allows the staff of the center to provide your sponsored child with lessons in character development, medical checkups, nutritious food, games, art competitions, educational field trips, vocational training, and English classes. And so, like I said, we'll give you an opportunity next week. It's not going to be high pressure or by any means. Just if the Lord leads you to be a part of that, that will be an opportunity for you next week. If you come to the event that takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the gymnasium, they will have children there that you could sponsor at that moment. But those children that are there at that moment probably are not going to be from this center in Sri Lanka. Those are being reserved for Sunday morning. And so I just wanted to share that with you, ask that you pray about that, and if God leads you, you'll have an opportunity next Sunday morning to be a part of that opportunity. So with that being said, let's look together at Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, let's stand in honor of reading God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." How many of you want to know what God's will is this morning? Here it is. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to verse 21. "Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." This is our fourth lesson on the one another's of the Bible. We've already talked about being members of one another. We've talked about being devoted to one another, serving one another, and living in harmony with one another. So this is the fifth lesson, being submissive, submitting to one another. Let's pray together as we ask God's direction for this lesson. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being together today. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of holding your word in our hands to be able to read it and to study it. God, we thank you that your word is powerful and it does speak to our hearts. And God, we pray this morning that you would help us to listen well. Help us, Lord, to hear from your Spirit. Help us, God, to be able to apply your word to our lives, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word. God, we pray that you would speak to us this morning by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. And if you agree with this, say amen. 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 You can be seated. We're talking this morning about a subject that some people try to avoid, and it's the subject of submission. Submitting to one another. The concept of submission is used by biblical writers all throughout the New Testament. Let me just give you a few examples. Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells the young men that they are to be submissive to those who are older. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. I mean, it doesn't tell us exactly who are the old men or who are the young men. You can be your own judge for that. But it does tell us that young men, the younger men, have an obligation. They are to be submissive to the older men. It also tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, that Christians in general should be submissive to the elders or the pastors of the church. It says, "Obey our leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over our souls as those who give an account." I think about that passage of scripture and that last statement there of those who will give an account. A pastor has a high responsibility before the Lord. And as followers, as the sheep of the flock, you also have a responsibility before the Lord. He goes on, another passage of scripture we're going to look at in just a moment, talks about wives submitting to their husbands in chapter 5, verse number 22. But it also talks about husbands and how husbands are to love their wives and love their wives in such a way that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Talks in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, about how servants or employees are instructed to submit to their masters. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ." And then it also says that children are to obey and submit to their parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then Christians in general are to submit to the governing authorities that are around us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 says, "Submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For this is the will of God." And then Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is not authority except that which God has established." Now, I share all of these different verses to you to let us know that being submissive to one another, as Paul says in chapter 5, verse 21, includes everyone. Everyone who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ has an obligation to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word submit originally was a military term to refer to the subordination of soldiers in an army to those of a superior rank. Good soldiers surrendered control. They turn loose of selfish agendas and they live in submission for the good of others. And that's the word that Paul uses here to describe this idea of submitting to one another. And so with that in mind, let me share with you four truths about what it means to submit to one another. Number one, submission is an effect of the Spirit. Submission is an effect of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 21 falls in the context of the fruit of the Spirit. It comes shortly after Paul talks about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. This is an example of how a Spirit-filled believer is a person who lives in right relationship with God and with right relationship with the Christian community. If you follow along, verse 19, when he says that we are not to get, verse 18, we're not to get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. We are, and as a result of being filled with the Spirit, here's what happens. It's the overflow. You are filled with the Spirit. And so as a result of that, you address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. As a result of being filled with the Spirit, you make melody to the Lord with your heart. As a result of being filled with the Spirit, you give thanks always and for everything to God the Father. And as a result of the filling of the Spirit, you submit to one another out of reverence for the Lord. And so the effects of being filled with the Spirit include singing. We did that a few moments ago. Y'all sounded great. Most of you sounded great. No, seriously, y'all did. Y'all sounded wonderful. It's making melody, singing to the Lord, giving thanks. You know, giving thanks is not just something we do on Thanksgiving. It's something that we should do regularly, giving thanks to the Lord. It's an effect of the Holy Spirit filling us. And then also submitting to one another. You see, the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, enables us to do that which is not natural, which is submitting to people. You can be sure that if you are acting brashly, arrogantly, or in a self-assertive way, that you are not walking according to the Spirit. John Stott said the following. He said the Holy Spirit is a humble spirit. And those who are truly filled with Him always display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. It is one of their most evident characteristics that they submit to one another. Submission is an effect of the Spirit. Yesterday, after the race was over, I was visiting with my mom, and we decided we were going to go to the orchard to go get some apples. This is a great time of the year for apples. And so we went to the orchard to get the apples. And before we even arrived, there were some fruit inspectors that had been there. And those fruit inspectors went around and they checked out all the apples. They made sure that those apples did not have any insects in them. They inspected them for bruises and they inspected them for all those different things that happen to apples. Fruit inspectors. Well, in a similar way, I believe that Christians are called to be fruit inspectors. We're not supposed to judge anybody, but we certainly can inspect somebody's fruit, can't we? We can inspect their fruit. And one of the things that you can look for in a believer's life, one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the effects of the Spirit is whether or not a person is willing to submit to someone else. A fruit inspector. Are you a fruit inspector this morning? I think the first fruit you need to inspect is yourself. First fruit I need to inspect is myself. Am I following the commands of the Lord? Am I following this passage of Scripture? Chapter 5, verse 21 is so clear, isn't it? I mean, it's so clear. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so this morning, look at your heart and see if you are showing evidences, effects of God's Spirit within you. Number two, submission requires a servant's attitude. Submission requires a servant's attitude. Verse 21 says, we are commanded to submit to one another. We are called to submit to one another, no matter what our position of authority happens to be. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and I believe I used this passage of Scripture a couple of weeks ago, but he was talking to his disciples one day when they were arguing about who was the greatest or who is the greatest. And I want you to look at these words again. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said to him, Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. You see, in the Gentile world, as Jesus called it, there was no such thing as mutual submission. Even acts of obedience and submission became a means to selfish ends. But in Christ, all believers have the potential to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What follows verse 21, verse 22? Verse 22 follows. And listen to what it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. John Piper points out something very interesting about these verses. He says that verse 22 and following are an extension and an application of the principle in verse 21. He says, we know this mainly from the grammar of the text. The command in verse 22, where it says, wives, be subject to your husband, has no verb in the original language. It simply says, wives to your husbands, which means it is a continuation of verse 21. You see, the flow of thought from verse 18 to verse 22 would be this: be filled with the Spirit, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ, wives to your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see, what we need to be reminded of this is this: many of the wives, many times the wife receives the brunt of Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. There seems to be a lot of emphasis that's placed on verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. But understand this, it requires, if that's going to happen, it requires a husband who has a servant's attitude. Did you know he spends more time talking to the husbands in this passage of Scripture than he does to the wife? You see, I believe that as a husband, my responsibility is to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And if I am really doing that, if I'm really following the commands of God's Word, if I'm truly loving her as Christ loved the church, then being submissive is not that big of a deal. It requires a servant's attitude. It requires a servant's attitude on the wife's side. It requires a servant's attitude on the husband's side. We could go on and talk about the children here. Notice verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And all the parents said, amen. But did you know that it also says something to the fathers? It says something to the fathers. Look at verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, what I believe Paul is saying here is that a father must have that servant's attitude. A father must have that servant's attitude. And if a father has that servant's attitude where he is not provoking your children to anger, he's bringing them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, then the children are going to naturally, maybe not naturally, but the children are going to obey and be submissive to their father. We can go on and talk about the slave or the master relationship. Paul says here that slaves are to be obedient to those who are their masters according to the flesh. But Paul also says that masters were likewise to do good for their slaves. In another passage of Scripture, pastors, elders are commissioned to be servants. We are to be servant leaders. As leaders, we are to be eager to serve. We are not to lord it over Christians using our positions as a means of unjust gain. I believe if that is truly happening, then the followers will follow. You see, it goes both ways. Every obedient follower of the Lord Jesus Christ who is Spirit-filled is a submitting Christian. Submission leads to someone who has a servant's heart. It requires a servant's heart. So think about your situation, whatever situation you find yourself in, whether that's moms and dads, husbands and wives, employer, employee. Do you have that servant's attitude? That servant's attitude that's going to make a difference in the way in which people respond to your leadership. Submission, number 3, must be guided by the Word. It must be guided by the Word. There's a warning I think we need to make sure of this morning. And the warning is this: don't make the Bible say something that it doesn't say. Don't make the Bible say something that it doesn't say. Some people take this verse, chapter 5, verse 21, and they want to use it like a hammer. You know, they want to say, you're supposed to submit to me. You're supposed to follow my authority. Listen, submission does not mean that you become a doormat. We need to make sure that we follow God's Word clearly. Paul made it very clear that submission to other Christians should not be based on subjective impulses and reactions. If they are, we can be responding selfishly. But instead, he says here that these ideas of submission must always be guided by God's word. Paul said it this way. Look at this verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Here's what I want you to understand. No Christian, no follower of Jesus Christ has the right to request something of another Christian that is not based on the Word of God. When we're asked to violate the will of God, we must obey God rather than men. And so we need to think about this seriously this morning for a moment. There's a great example found in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested. They're thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. They were instructed to not speak any longer about the gospel. They were instructed, they were released, but as they were being released, the rulers, the authorities, the people that they were supposed to submit to released them, and then they said to them, don't preach any longer in the name of Christ. Okay, so what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to submit to that authority? Are they supposed to submit to those rulers? Well, here's what they said. They said in Acts chapter 4, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And so what that tells me is we are clearly instructed to submit to governing authorities. I read that passage of Scripture at the beginning. However, when the government crosses the line of God's word, we must submit to God over the government authorities. And there could be days ahead when that happens. There could be days ahead whenever that happens. And when that happens, that's when we have to make that decision. That's when we have to follow God's word over the governing authorities for our lives. And when that occurs, I hope you'll come visit me in prison, okay? I hope you'll come visit me and bring me some chocolate. I really would appreciate that very much. But it's a reality. It's a reality that could happen sooner than later. So the question becomes, again, what are we going to lean upon? We need to lean upon God's word. Wives that are instructed to do something that is contrary to the word of God because you're supposed to, quote, submit to somebody, that is a line in the sand that needs to be crossed. Okay? Husbands should never instruct their wives to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, period. And especially don't use Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to try to get away with it. It's wrong. It's unbiblical. God wants us to follow His Word first. And we must do that. We must do that. Finally, number four, submission is driven by reverence for Christ. It's driven by reverence for Christ. At the end of that verse, look at it, submitting to one another. What if it just ended right there? Period. Submitting to one another. It doesn't end there. It says, out of reverence for Christ. This is an indirect statement of the deity of Jesus. We submit to others because Christ is the ultimate authority over our lives. He is the ultimate authority over our lives. It means that we stand in awe of Jesus Christ. We stand in awe of who He is. And as a result of our standing in awe of who Jesus is, we follow His commands. And His command is to submit to one another. I follow the laws of the land. Pay my taxes. Follow the speed limit most of the time. Why do we do those things? Not because we're afraid of, you know, getting caught. We should do those things out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we think about this whole concept of submission, I want you to understand once again that God has given us the perfect example in the person of Jesus Christ. We think about Jesus Christ coming to this world, and we think about the incarnation of Jesus, and a part of that fact, a part of the idea that Jesus came to the world is that He had parents, and His parents had authority over Him. And as a result of that, Jesus submitted to His parents' authority. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus, when He went down with them, He came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Luke chapter 2, verse 51, talking about Jesus and His mother. He went down with them, and He came to Nazareth, and He was submissive to them. And His mother treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was submissive to His mom and dad. I mean, if there's no other reason to be submissive, I think that's a good one right there, children. Jesus was submissive to mom and dad. You should be submissive to mom and dad. But you know also something else. Jesus submitted to the will of His Father, the Heavenly Father. He submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father. We could go back to Philippians chapter 2, where the Bible talks about Jesus not counting equality with God a thing to be grasped, but counted Himself nothing and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus submitted to His Father, and then He also submitted Himself for you and I when He died on the cross for our sins. Jesus is the ultimate example. How can we not joyfully follow suit? How can we not joyfully submit to God and honor His word as we follow Him, as we follow His example of submitting to one another in our daily lives? My prayer for every one of us this morning as we continue this study of the one another's is that we too would find ways in the days ahead that we can follow God's word and we can be submissive to one another, understanding these four principles and applying them to our lives in the days ahead. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we do come before You today and we are thankful for the example of Jesus. God, we're thankful that He was willing to submit to Your plan for His life. Because He willingly submitted to Your plan for His life, Lord, He gave His life for us on the cross. God, thank You that He gave us an example of submitting to parents. And God, I pray that You'd help every one of us in this room to follow Jesus' example. God, help us to submit to one another. God, to have that servant's heart, that servant's attitude. Not to lord it over someone, not to pressure someone, but God, to truly, God, serve others as we submit one to another. So, Father, I just pray that you would continue, God, to speak to us in the days ahead. Remind us of these things. Help us to apply these things to our lives. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing an invitation song. And if God has spoken to your heart today about any decision that you need to make today for